Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKedesh, is daf Yud Tes. And we're holding right smack bang in the middle of the sugya of how to understand the two Mishnayot that opened up this perek. So remember that the perek begins with a Mishnah about little baby Levi, in which a little baby Levi appears on the scene at a time when his brother Reuven has died, and he is now being introduced to the wife of who used to be, my screen is gone again, let me take my gemara, it drives me crazy. Sorry.
Comes from not drinking.
Does it? I keep pouring the drink all over the computer, nothing happens. So our first Mishnah opens up where little baby Levi is introduced to a woman as having once been married to a brother that he never met. And he's called an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. And then the second Mishnah is introduced about a page and a half later, which talks about the same case, except in this case, he is introduced to the wife who was originally married to his deceased brother Reuven. He's introduced to her as the Yavama of Shimon, because in this case, Shimon already did the Yibam before he was born. And now we don't know whether Rabbi Shimon is ready to say that both of those cases are not considered to be Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, and that even the first case, where she had not yet gotten Yibam, is also not called Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, because the Zika alone for the Yibam was sufficient to create a bond of Ishus, and therefore she is called Mrs. Shimon. And he knows nothing about Reuven, even in that first Mishnah. That was the question. Rav Hoshaya claimed that he disagrees in both cases because he's convinced that the Zika is good. Rav Yosef says, nonsense. Rabbi Shimon is not convinced that Zika is good, and he brought us a very simple proof from the fact that if there were three brothers, all of them existed at the same time, in the same world, nothing to do with our original case, and there were three brothers, and what happened was that two of them died, their wives are unrelated, and one of them, Shimon, in this case, went ahead and gave Ma'amar to the wife of Reuven. Rabbi Shimon says, in this case, there is no problem, and he can take either one of them, it could be Miyabim, either one of them that he wants, and they would still need to do Chalitza to the second one. But he can't be Miyabim both of them, says Rabbi Shimon, because maybe there was Zika, and there you're not allowed to take both wives of Shimon, and they're both the real Mrs. Shimon, please stand up. They both stand up, because Zika is the same as being married. Maybe. And if that's true, you're only allowed to marry one, by a techat. On the other hand, you can't potter the other one, because maybe when we say, well, the real Mrs. Shimon, please stand up, the only one who will stand up is the first Mrs. Shimon, the original Mrs. Shimon, who's been married to him long before his brother Reuven died. And therefore, how am I going to potter one of these women with taking the other one when they're not connected to the same bias? That's Rabbi Yosef's proof that here Rabbi Shimon himself says, I'm not sure about Zika plus Mimer. Even in that case, I'm still not sure that that's the equivalent of a full marriage. So how could he be sure that it's the equivalent of a full marriage when it comes to tell me that Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo doesn't have a problem because he's introduced to Reuven's previous wife? He's introduced her as Mrs. Shimon. Makes no sense. That's where we were up to. And now we continue today with, get in the next page here. I'll just take my old-fashioned tree, Gemara, if it's going to keep making me trouble. I'm going to teach you a lesson, Mr. iPod. Okay. So that's where we got up to, and we're up to the words Omar Le Abaye. Now, Omar Le Abaye is about two lines down from the middle of those thin lines. So Omar le Abaye, the lo shani lecha ben zikas yavam echad lezikas shnei yavmin. I don't understand at all what your question is, says Abaye. You're trying to prove to me that Rabbi Shimon holds that Zika is not necessarily effective from a case where there were three brothers and there was no Eisha Sakshalaya Ba'olamo. There are three brothers. And you're telling me that I'm not sure if the one brother, when one brother died, there were two Yevamim left that could have done Yibam. You're saying, I'm not sure if one of them gave Maimer, whether even that would be enough with the Zika to make her his wife, right? Yeah, well, of course. Don't you understand, says Abaye to Rav Yosef, that that's because the Zika was spread out over two brothers. Did you never hear of the inverse square law of Zika? So if the Zika is now spread out among two brothers, there's only the square of the keach of the Zika to be able to achieve an actual marriage. So if that's the case, of course over there Rabbi Shimon isn't sure. But what does that have to do with our case? Our case, there was only one brother. The two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, are the only brothers in this equation. We're trying to decide what the dispensation of this woman is between those two brothers vis-a-vis a brother who is born later, right? So over there, if I'm telling you, if Rabbi Shaya is telling you that Rabbi Shimon is absolutely convinced that in such a case, a fully focused Zika to only one brother, there's only one possible brother, and that is Shimon. Reuven is dead. Levi wasn't born. So now, if that's the case, there's one brother. So why can't Rabbi Shimon say, if there's only one brother and there's definitely Zika, then that Zika is fully defined by relationship to that brother? But obviously, if there are two potential Yavams, how could Zika completely make it Mrs. Shimon when maybe it's really Mrs. Zachariah? I don't know. I mean, of course, in that case, he's not going to commit himself to saying that Zika is absolute. Isn't that rather obvious? A two-year-old could tell you that. So therefore, it says, Abaye to Rav Yosef, you don't understand the difference between Elo shani lecha ben zikat yavam echad lezikat shnei yevamim? Maybe Rabbi Shimon said, yes, Zika is kiknusa, where there's only one brother that could have been doing the yibam, yavam echad. But in this case, where we have shnei yavamim, he would never have said such a thing. Well, no, I don't think that's true, because the whole thing actually doesn't make sense. Rabbi Shimon does not actually make a difference. He never considers Zika to be the equivalent. And that's because, as I can show you, basically Rabbi Shimon says openly that Rabbi Oshaya is wrong. So I don't know why we're still debating this. Would you let me please tell you what it says clearly in this braita? V'atanya, listen to this. This is Rabbi Shimon speaking. Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon. Kol shahalida kodemet l'nisuin lo choletzet v'lo mityabemet. Wherever little brother Levi is born before this woman who is married to Reuven gets remarried through Yibum, then the halacha is that in that case there's no chalitza and no Yibum because it's eshet ach shelo haya ba'olamo. But if the marriage to Shimon comes before Levi was born, then either choletzet or mityabemet. Okay? That's telling me that Rav Oshaya is wrong. I mean, and I'm assuming that this means the case in the Mishnah where there was only one Yavam. There was Reuven, who died and has a surviving brother, Shimon. So it's talking about a Yavam Echad, and it says, according to Rabbi Shimon, lo choletzet velo biyabemet. Well, how do you know? Maybe it's talking about not the case in the Mishnah. Maybe it's talking about where there were more than three brothers. Maybe there were 20 brothers, okay? And little brother Levi is actually brother number 20. And what happened over here is that Reuven died, leaving his wife too, Shimon and Yisachar and Zvulun and Naphtali, and therefore the Zika never defined to whom she is married, and therefore said Rabbi Shimon, okay, then it's an Eishes Hakshaloya Bolamo, because he was born before anybody did the Yibum and the Zika was undefined. Maybe that's what it's talking about. But if it would have been one Yavam, then maybe Rav Hoshaya is right. Oh, really? Oh, really, says Rav Yosef. You're telling me that B'Yavam Echad Mai, what would be the din? That he would have agreed that you could do either Chalitza or Yibam? So then ask yourself, instead of making this rule that if the Nisuin becomes before the Leda, then you can either do Chalitza or Yibam, why doesn't he just say a bigger Kiddush? Let him say, oh, of course, when is this true? Only if there's more than one Yavam. But if there would be only one Yavam, then little brother Levi can come along and do either Chalitza or Yibam, huh? Why doesn't Rabbi Shimon say that? My dear friend, Rabbi Shimon doesn't say that because he's coming to address all of the variations in a case where there are more than one Yavam. So he wants to say, what happened first, the Yibam or the birth of brother Levi? That's all. What's so strange about that? He's coming to tell me Kula b'shnei Yibamim kamare. Yeah. So then why does he say klal omer Rabbi Shimon? It's not a klal. It only applies to this specific case. What do you mean klal omer Rabbi Shimon? In any case where the birth came before the marriage, it's aser. Not true, not true, boo. How many of you are there? You don't even that. You make a cloud out of something that isn't true. So you see that I'm right. Why don't you bite the bullet? Give up on Rabbi Hoshaya. And it's clear that Rabbi Shimon does not hold that an Eishes Hakshaloya Ba'olamo would be okay to marry as long as there was Zika. It's not true. Even if it's only one brother. Furthermore, Rav Hoshaya, not to be confused with Rabbi Hoshaya, because Rav Hoshaya doesn't like Rabbi Oshaya's shot. A bit confusing. But anyway, as Tosfos says, you see from here, there were two completely different people. One was called Rav Hoshaya, one was called Rabbi Hoshaya. I've been trying to explain that to you for years, and here you finally see it, says Tosfos. Can't argue with me about this. Okay. So anyway, so here we've got Rav Hoshaya asking a question on Rabbi Hoshaya, even though both of them were Amoraim. Shlosha Achim. So we've got three brothers again. These three brothers are two of them. Now, please get the case careful. We're going to first present it simply. Three brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, and therefore they're mutually exclusive to the third brother. He can't take both of them or any other grouping. A woman and her daughter, a woman or a granddaughter, whatever, right? Any of the groups where you can't have both. You can't have two sisters, you can't have a mother. Okay. So then in a case where they would both die without children, and now the third brother is faced with an impossible situation. He can't marry both of these women, correct? Because one of them is going to be an Erva if he married the other one. So what does he do in this case? Says the Tanakama, Hare Elu Cholzot Velo Mityabmot. He can't take either of them because each of them will be Achot Zekukato, if they're sisters, or Aim Zekukato, if it's mother and daughter, or Bat Zekukato, if it's daughter and mother, whatever. But they're both going to be related to him with Zika. Is the case clear to all of you? He cannot take both of them because they are mutually exclusive. Four possible cases of mutually exclusive. Two sisters, mutually exclusive. Mother and daughter reunion is also, it's only emotional way and it's usher. That's the problem. So it can't be a mother and a daughter. It can't be a mother and a granddaughter through a daughter. Can't be a mother and a granddaughter through a son. Now that's four cases of mutually exclusive women. And believe it or not, Rabbi Shimon says you don't even get chalitza. Now, we know where he got that from because we mentioned it earlier as an aside, and he holds it's gzeres hakosov, that litzror, when two women fall to Zika simultaneously, and you can't have both of them, you can't have either of them. Fine, but that's gzeres hakosov. That's not part of our considerations here. Now, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Shimon holds that Zika alone creates Knusa, so then the third brother should be able to do either Yibum or Chalitza with the one who died first. Because at that moment, there was already Zika. And therefore, she is already his wife through Zika. Because you said that Rabbi Shimon holds that Zika is Kiknusa. And then the other one is now going to be potter from everything because she's going to be a tsaras, she's going to be an erva. Because in this case, they were married to sisters. Okay. So then the third brother, let's call the third brother Levi, but he's not little Levi, he's big Levi. Moment that Reuven dies, Levi is now a Zika husband to his wife, Mrs. Reuven. If that is considered by you to be a marriage, then when Shimon dies and the other mutually exclusive woman, let's say the sister, is going to fall to the same Levi, then it's already a out-and-out erva, and therefore Shimon's wife does not need either chalitza or yibum because she is achot ishto. So if you hold Zika is kiknusa, so even if Reuven's wife was still not given yibum when Shimon died, she's mutter to Levi because of the Zika. So how do you explain that? So that means, even though when Reuven died, he had two Shimon and Levi brothers, but obviously he only has a Zika to Levi because Shimon was married to the sister or to the daughter. There was no Zika there because he could never have married her because he's married to the sister. So then by definition, it's the same as having only one Yavam because only one of them is suitable. And nonetheless, we see that Rabbi Shimon does not consider Zika to be the equivalent of Knusa, even though there's only one Yavam. There you go. So there's nothing to say. The same thing would be true, therefore, about Eshes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'Olamo. Omer Rav Amram. You know what? When it says that Rabbi Shimon is poter, what he means is that you should be Miyabem one of them, and the second one, that's the first one that falls, the first brother that dies leaves a wife. That one he's able to take. And then the second one who dies is potter completely because she is, in fact, a erva because Zika is complete. What do you mean? But no, it says in a brisa, Rabbi Shimon is potter bishtehen. Bishtehen, not one of them. In both of them. Omar Rava, well, that, you know what that means? It means that Rabbi Shimon is Mati. He says the second one of the second pair and the second one of the first pair and the second one of the third pair and so on. All of them are going to be potter. That's what it means, Shnehem. Now, Rava, obviously, understood the case totally differently than we did. Rava understood this, that all of these brothers had married, the two brothers had married four women apiece. They had married two sisters. They had married a mother and a daughter. They had married a mother and a granddaughter through a son. And they had married a mother and a granddaughter through a daughter. So that basically there's always going to be four groups, the second one of each of the groups. That's how Rava understood the case. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon is saying, one of Reuven's wives, one of his four wives, can be taken, whichever one, okay? That's the given. But now that would mean that both or all of Shimon's wives are going to be potter without chalitza or yivam. Why is that? Because when Reuven died, what happened? Zika kicks in. So that means one of his four widows is basically going to be completely married to Levi because of Zika. Do you know which one it is? No, I don't care which one it is, because whichever one it is has a either a sister or a daughter or a mother, whatever the case is, but has somebody that is married to Shimon. So when Shimon dies, it means that the one over here who is the relative of the Zika, and we don't know who that is, every one of them is that way, is going to be Potter because she's an Erva to Levi. And because of that, her Tzara is Potter because her Tzara is Erva. That's what we meant when we said Rabbi Shimon is Mater Shnehem, means he's Mater both of the wives of whatever brother dies last. And therefore, he's calling them the second one in the first Zug. Let's call the first Zug the two sisters. The second one of the second Zug. Let's call that the mother and daughter. The second one of the third Zug. Let's call that the mother and granddaughter. Whatever. And says the Gemara, boy, is Rava confused. Rava thinks we're talking about four different sets. So we have two out of the three brothers are being married to four women apiece, each one of whom is a relative to each one of the other ones. No, that's not the case. And I could prove it to you that it's not the case. It's said over here, and you're married to either. Oh, do you know what the word O means? O is either. So either, he says, to two sisters, or to a woman and her daughter, or to not and. Okay, that's the first problem with Rava. And the second problem with Rava is that then why does Rabbi Shimon say Potter b'shteyem? He should be Potter b'arba'atan. He potters all four of them. How did we suddenly go down to two? So obviously that's not. And besides that, I can show you a third reason that Rava is wrong. Because the Lashon in the Braita is Rabbi Shimon Potter b'shteyem. Mina chalitza umina yibum shenemar v'ishal achota lo tikach litzror. You didn't even understand Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was bringing a whole new halacha that had nothing to do with everything that you're talking about. It's the fact that the Torah said that when two women who are mutually exclusive are in a position of litzror, that they both are related to the same yavam, the same third yavam, then you can't take either of them. So, lo tikach litzror, meaning shvisha'ah shenasu tzorot zo lazo, when they have a relationship, even though it's defined by the yuvam itself, lo yelech halekuchan afilu b'achas. You can't take any of them. So then, according to this, Rabbi Shimon potters the wife of every single brother, both from chalitza and yibum. And therefore...
What was the meaning of the old Rabbi Shimon potter barabatan miboile? What was that saying?
If according to Rava, there are four wives to every one, why does it say potters to both of them? It's not both of them. It's four of them. Right. All right. Now, so that means we're back to what we said. If Rabbi Shimon held that Zika is considered to be Kiknusa, then what he should have said was that the first one to die is able to be Miyubemes. And then the second one is Putter as a Tzaras Erva, an Erva as a Tzaras Erva. Says Ravashi, well, of course, you'd be right if they didn't die instantly in the same car accident. But we're talking about over here where they all died. If the two sisters would have first one husband died, Reuven dies, and then 2 minutes later, Shimon dies, then you'd be right. The first Mrs. Reuven is mutter to be miyabem, and then the second one doesn't need anything. But we're talking about over here that they both died at the same instant, and therefore both of them are litzror. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon is coming from the point of view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds that things can happen at the same time. Remember, we had this as a big question. Is there really such a thing as things happening at the same time? Or are we always going to assume nothing happens at the same instant? It's just that we don't know what instant it is. But we'd never be able to say that they should all be putter because there's no such case as the same instant. What are we talking about? Planck time? What kind of time are we talking about? Fine, that's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachomi. But assuming that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, then that's the pshat. That they died at the same moment. Anyway, we now have this entire idea. According to Rav Hoshaya, Zika is Kiknusa, Libet Rabbi Shimon, Eisa Shach Shloya Ba'olomo, would not be an Isser in any case where there was either Zika or Yivam before Levi was born. And we have the two Mishnayas, both being argued on by Rebbe Shimon. Rav Papa says, I totally disagree. Rebbe Shimon is only arguing in the case where the Yibam takes place before the birth of Levi. Only in that case. But if Levi is born, like in the first Mishnah, Benolad, and then Shimon does the Yibam, nonsense. Rebbe Shimon agrees 100% with the Chachamim. And so I know what you asked. You said, so why does it say in the Mishnah, the first clause, since it doesn't add any information? So, and you're telling me Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue. So then it's only going to Rabbanan. So then it's rather obvious, isn't it? If the Rabbanan are going to Aser, even in a case where Levi's born afterwards, certainly they would Aser in the first Mishnah. You're right. Did you never hear of the idea of lo zu af zu? That sometimes we have a Mishnah that says something that is a lesser chiddush, and then when we think over that lesser chiddush, the next case in the Mishnah says, now let me take it a step further. Even if Levi had been born after Shimon gave the Yibum, we still maintain he would be Aser. Fine, good, so that's called lo zu af zu. What's so wrong about that? Doesn't bother me in the least. Anyway, in fact, we actually have a braita that says beferish, like Rav Papa, that Rabbi Shimon is Meida, where Levi was born before, and it's a brisa that is 100% a tiyufta of Rabbi Oshaya, and we could stop torturing ourselves to try to answer all these kashas on Rabbi Oshaya, because with this brisa, there ain't no way to answer Rabbi Oshaya. Here's the brisa. Shnei achim bolam echad, two regular brothers, Reuven and Shimon. One of them dies without any child. The second one, now we had spoken about this before, and it's a really weird case. The second one had gotten up to do Ma'amar, but he didn't have a chance to do Ma'amar before the third brother Levi was born. Now the Gemara is going to ask later on, quoting Yoda, what do we care what he wanted to do? Just tell me what he did do. Fine. That's very nice from Yoda's point of view, and we'll discuss what the point is later. But now, set that aside and pretend you don't care about why he wanted to do it, didn't get to do it. We don't care about that part. We just care about the fact that the Maimer never took place before little Levi was born and Shimon dies. So now, that means that Mrs. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon are now in front of baby Levi. What happens? So the first woman, obviously, she is Mrs. Reuven, and Mrs. Reuven is an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Bo'olamo, and that, there's nothing to discuss. Levi cannot marry her. But the second, Mrs. Shimon, he can do either Chalitza or Yibam in this case, because basically he was a contemporary of Levi's. He wasn't an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Bo'olamo. And since Shimon never did Ma'amar, there was no problem of its being like a Tzoras Erva that Asered one of them. And obviously this Brisa holds Zika doesn't create that. So why can't he just take either one? Mrs. Shimon is completely unrelated to Mrs. Reuven, and therefore Levi can take Mrs. Shimon either B'chalitza or Yibam. Fine. Now, suppose Shimon did get a chance to do the Ma'amar with Mrs. Reuven, and then little Levi was born, or for that matter, maybe little Levi was born, and then Shimon did Ma'amar, and then he died. So now, both of these women, Mrs. Shimon through Ma'amar, and Mrs. Shimon through normal marriage, fall to Levi. So then what's the din? So Harishona, the first to fall, meaning the original Mrs. Reuven, who is now Mrs. Shimon's because of Mrs. Ma'amar Shimon. So that woman is obviously Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Bo'olamo. But in this case, the real Mrs. Shimon cannot get Yibam. She can only get Chalitza because Mirabonan, she is married to an eshet ach shelo haya ba'olamo, who is an erva to little baby Levi, except that since it's only drabbonin, it doesn't pater her completely, so she still needs chalitza, but it does aser her, so she cannot get yibum. Okay, classic case. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, biata o chalitzata shel echad mehem, doing chalitza with one of them, not with either of them. Usually it means with either of them. In this case, it's a riddle. Biatao chalitza, either the yibum or the chalitza of only one of these will be poteret the tzora. And let me explain, says Rabbi Shimon. If Levi does chalitza with Mrs. Ma'amar, so then the original Mrs. Shimon is not Petura because she's not really fully married to Shimon. But if he would do Yibum or Chalitza with the original Mrs. Shimon, then Mrs. Ma'amar would certainly be Petura. So notice Rabbi Shimon does not agree with the Tanakama. Tanakama is saying that Ma'amar is semi-marriage. Rabbi Shimon says either Ma'amar is a complete marriage or it's nothing. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon, not being certain, as we saw before, if Ma'amar is absolute and it really is a Kinyan Shalem, so then Levi was born after Mrs. Reuven became Mrs. Shimon, in which case she was really Muteris to Levi, in which case Mrs. Shimon's original wife is also Muteris. The problem is that if he does Yibum or Chalitza with one, he's going to pater the other one. Fine. So that would be true if Ma'amar is complete. If Ma'amar is not anything, and because that's what Rabbi Shimon says it's one way or the other, it's not semi. So if Ma'amar is ridiculous, does nothing, then when Levi was born, Mrs. Reuven is still Mrs. Reuven and is completely an Eishes Akshel Ohaya Ba'olamo. And when Shimon dies, never having taken Mrs. Reuven, only Mrs. Shimon falls to Levi, and therefore the real Mrs. Shimon, his original wife, is Mutter to Levi, and she's not a Tzoras Erva. So therefore Levi has to either be Miyabim, Mrs. Shimon, or he can do Chalitza. And in this case, nothing is done. Mrs. Reuven is an Erva to Levi, so it doesn't matter. So in other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, Levi can do either Yibum or Chalitza with one, and therefore the other one would be Petura, but that's only if the Maimer is good. And if the Maimer is bad, and it doesn't mean anything, then he has to only deal with the real Mrs. Shimon. So because of that, Rabbi Shimon says, look, one of these women is going to pater the other one. Which one? If Levi goes ahead and does a chalitza with the original Mrs. Reuven, then it's ridiculous. It doesn't do anything because maybe the Ma'amar wasn't meaningful. But if Levi had done either Yibum or chalitza, which is completely mutter to him with Shimon's real wife, then it would pater the Ma'amar Memanavshach, either because she is married and therefore he already took the other wife, or because she's completely an ervatim because of Eishes Akshel Ohaya Ba'olamo. Fine. So that's what Rabbi Shimon is saying. There's one of them that will pot to the other one. Now, the next case is, if Shimon marries, and he did take the Mrs. Reuven, he did do the Yibum, and then he dies, and then Levi was born. Now, here's where we're going to show that actually Rav Oshaya is completely wrong from Rabbi Shimon's own description of Vashita in the Braita. Here it says, if Shimon had gone ahead and done Yibum, and then he died, and then little Levi was born, or little Levi was born, and then he did Yibum, and then he died, in that case, both of them are Potter Min HaChalitza Min HaYibum, according to Rabbi Meir, as we'll see. And now, not only that, but if Shimon had married Mrs. Reuven, and then the new brother was born, Levi, and then Shimon dies, then both of them are potter min hayibum and min hachalitza, according to Rabbi Meir. Obviously, it's not true according to Rabbi Shimon. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, in that case, since Levi, when he was born, already found the original Mrs. Reuven to now be the complete Mrs. Shimon, and there was never even a moment where he met Mrs. Reuven as needing Yibum, v'lo amdalav sha'achat b'yisur, he can take either one of these because he's not an eishes ach, shelo haya b'olamo. Now, here's how I'm going to prove to you that Rav Hoshaya is wrong. This last case, where Shimon first does Yibum and then Levi is born, okay? It was set aside as a separate clause, correct? Who was it said for? Who is the Kiddush for? Like Rebbe Meir? If it was coming to tell me that it's the halach, he wanted to tell me that in this case, Rebbe Meir also assers, so then, for heaven's sakes, Rebbe Meir doesn't care what the case is, right? He doesn't care whether first you were meyabem v'achakach nolat, whether first you were nolat v'achakach yibem. We had all of the cases. So just put them all together. Why do we have this unique case at the end, okay? He would just larvinu v'lisninu, combine all the cases and say that no matter what happens, no matter what it was that Shimon had done, it's always going to be exactly the same. Instead of mentioning a particular case, say they're all the same, and that basically I don't care what happens, so that if you had a new baby that was born afterwards, or he had done Mimer, or he had actually married her with Yibum, and then he died. In all of these cases, he's an Eishes Ach Shelo Haya B'Olamo, and then the same thing would be true of Kansam and Nolad Lo'ach. Why do we now take that fourth case and state it separately? So therefore, it must be coming because this is the case that Rabbi Shimon argues on. And therefore, we have to state it separately. So, El Alav Rabbi Shimon. And that's where Rabbi Shimon was arguing in that fourth case, which was first he was miyabim, and then not first there was Zika, not first there was Mimer. No, first there was Yibum, and then little baby Levi was born, the Acher Kach Nola. That, in only that, is where Rabbi Shimon argued, which is why we had to list that case as a fourth and separate bava. Masha Inkin, we could not have put them all together and say in all of these cases, Rabbi Meir Asers and Rabbi Shimon is Matir. Exactly. So you see, V'nolad V'achar Kach Yibim, which was the case in the first Mishnah of our Perek, where first Levi was born and then Shimon did the Yibim, he does not argue on the Chachomim, and he admits that over there, she is always going to be Eishes Achim Shelo Haya B'Olamo to him. Shema Amina, this absolutely proves that Rav Papa is right and that Rav Hoshaya is wrong. Now, as far as Yoda is concerned, explain to me who cares that the guy wanted to do Mimer if he couldn't do Mimer, didn't do Mimer, or caught a cold before he did Mimer, or was abducted by aliens before he did Mimer. Who the heck cares? Either he did Mimer or he didn't do Mimer. So what did that mean? Omad hasheni lasot mamar b'yivimto, v'lo yispik lasot mamar b'yivimto, ad shenolad lo ach v'meit. And the din over there is that both the Mrs. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon were left to Levi. The Rishona is Yotzev Eishes Achim Shelo Haya B'Olamo, and the second one is just the normal Mrs. Shimon. Can you tell me what that means? What do you mean? He stood up to do it. Who cares if he stood up to do it? My Ahmad. And what's this? And he just didn't succeed. Lo he speak. I mean, all of this is really nice for spoiled Americans who talk about what I wanted to do, but which wasn't up to me, and it was out of my hands, and I didn't manage. Yoda's not interested in this. E avad avad. Did you do it or didn't you do it? V'i lo avad lo avad. I'm not interested in your intentions in the halacha. So what are you telling me? Ah, says the Gemara. This is actually a very interesting diuk that is here for a very important purpose. And what it's coming to do is to teach me the following halacha. What happens is that obviously the meaning of amad has to do with intent, right? So what could possibly be the meaning of intent? Aha, it means like this. Originally, he was going to have an intentful ma'amar. That is to say, she had agreed, yes, I would much prefer a diamond ring to your jumping on me. Fine. So she agrees to the ma'amar, right? However, the intent, he was unable to carry it out because it wasn't up to his intent. It was up to her. So he was unable, v'lo yispik mi da'ata, and she said, never mind. So he said, give me that finger, you idiot. And he jams this ring on her finger and he says, Areya mikudeshet lina, cut it out. Now that's better than a rape any day, isn't it? Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Okay. So nonetheless, since he did it ba'al korcha, so the b'raisa comes to tell me that a ma'amar ba'al korcha is useless. And that is an amazingly important chiddush. Why? Because it's coming to tell me that Rebbe is wrong. Because in a b'raisa it says, if somebody does ma'amar with a yavama without consent, Rebbe says it's a completely good marriage. And the Chachamim say it's completely meaningless. Lokana, what is Rebbe's svara? Rebbe says, look, if anyway you can just rape your Yavama, why can't you rape her nicely by giving her a diamond ring? I mean, isn't that still an advantage? So, I mean, the din is built around the din of Yavamas. If a bia de Yavama can be ba'al korcha, so then if we're going to be mitaken kiddushin of Yavama, we'll be mitaken kiddushin within the dinim of Yibam. And therefore, kiddushin de Yavama should also be ba'al korcha. Whereas the Rabbanan say, now wait a minute. When we create the mechanism called ma'amar, we didn't create that mechanism. We imported that mechanism. Obviously, we can't create a mechanism. The Rabbana never create a mechanism. So we imported the mechanism of giving a diamond ring, so to speak, from a concept called Kedushin. And we said doing that Kedushin to a Yavama is called Ma'amar. Can you do Kedushin Bal Korcha to a woman? No. The concept of Kedushin, which we're importing, is a concept that is built entirely around mutual consent. That's the whole meaning of Kedushin. So how can you create a Kedushin, even if it is in the context of Yavama? Is it part of the set of Dinei Yavama, or is it part of the set of the modality called Kedushin? That's the question. So therefore, the Rabbanan say, no, we can only be Gamri Mikedushin de Alma. Just like Kedushin de Alma is defined as Midaita, so too the Kedushin de Yavama is Midaita. Now, this is a fundamental issue, because B'maika Miflage, Rebbe holds that if we are dealing with the set of issues that are part of the set of Yibam, then everything that is going to be found within that set has to follow the same considerations that we find binogea yavama. And therefore, mile di yavama, mile di yavama havile lamelech. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, we do not look at the set of that to which it applies. We look at the set of the mechanism from which it comes. Now, this is a general question. And therefore, Taina the Rabbanan, Mile de Kedushin, Mimile de Kedushin, Havile Lamelav. I don't care that we're applying it to Yavama, but basically it is a function of Kedushin. And that's why we spoke about intent, because that is basically the question. We were in the middle of a braita that had presented us with four different cases that involved an Eishes Tzachiv Shelo Haya Ba'olama. The variations in the cases concerned what point was little baby Levi born? Was he born after Shimon did Yibum? Whether was he born before Shimon did anything? Was he born after Shimon did Ma'amar, or was he born after he had finished completely the Kinyan of his Yevama? So now we were up to the last case, and that was we already managed to use the Braisa to prove that Rabbi Oshaya's approach was wrong, and that Rabbi Shimon definitely agrees that in a case where the baby, we're calling the baby Levi, remember, that in a case where the baby is born at a time that the woman of the wife of his first brother was still in a position to require Yibum, even if subsequently it was taken care of by Shimon, that Isser does not go off. He only argued in the case where there was complete taking of the Eshes Reuven by his brother Shimon, with whom he is a contemporary. So, but now once we already raised the different cases, the issue of the different cases in that Braita, we'd like to finish them up and understand precisely what Rabbi Shimon was saying. So let's continue on now. The last thing that we had read yesterday was the machlokas about Ma'amar that was done by Al Korcha, because that was one of the fascinating cases. A real Ma'amar or a Ma'amar that he did, but she didn't want him to do. So that was really the fourth variation. Okay, but that we did yesterday. Now let's take a look at the last two cases. Last two cases are Asaba Ma'amar. So now the brother Shimon did Ma'amar after the death of Reuven. Then baby Levi was born, or baby Levi was born and then he did Ma'amar. So this seems to be a variation on the theme of what it is that we discussed before. What we discussed before is whether it came before the Yibum or it came after the Yibum. Now we're discussing, did it come before the Ma'amar or did it come after the Ma'amar? And this is referring to a case of Ma'amar that was done with the consent of the Yevama. Whereas the previous case was talking about, well, he did Ma'amar, but it wasn't really a Ma'amar because she didn't want it. So that was introduced by yesterday's case. So now it says like this. If Shimon did Ma'amar either before the birth of Levi, or he did Ma'amar after the birth of Levi, and then Shimon goes ahead and dies, so that now Mrs. Ma'amar Shimon, who was originally Reuven's wife, so Mrs. Ma'amar Shimon and the real Mrs. Shimon now fall to Levi, right? So what's the din? The first wife, Rishona, meaning Mrs. Ma'amar, she is Yotza Mishum Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Bo'olamo. She is definitely not considered to be fully a Mrs. Shimon because he never did the Yibum. And the second one, who is the Tzora, so she cannot really get Yibum, even though Midiraisa she should get Yibum, because Ma'amar is only Drabbanan. But since Midrabbanan, it's as if he did Yibum, so therefore she can't get Yibum. But she can get Chalitza and has to get Chalitza. So because of that, we're stuck basically with her being a semi-Tzoras Erva. Now here is where Rabbi Shimon comes along and gives his next unique Rabbi Shimon halacha, which we've already discussed before. According to Rabbi Shimon, Ma'amar is not partially a Kinyan. Ma'amar is not, well, she's sort of married, and therefore she asers the tzora, but she's not really married, so therefore she cannot be muteret, and actually you can choose either one. All that you could do is you could do chalitza. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Ma'amar, look, I can't tell you the truth about what Ma'amar does, but I can tell you one thing. It isn't a semi-Kinyan. Either Ma'amar works, which is the shita of some Tanoim, and if it works totally. It works to be a Kinyan Gomer. So you'll say, if it works to be a Kinyan Gomer, then why do you need to do Yibum? That's no kasha. You can have a Kinyan and still have a mitzvah to do Yibum. Yibum is to actually cohabit with this woman, right? You're supposed to have intercourse. You're not supposed to just have a wife. And the Kinyan Gomer is a Kinyan Gomer that is achieved with Kedushin. That's a Kinyan Gomer. It makes an Eshes Ish and so on and so forth. What's your problem? So those are two separate issues. Fine. So if that's the case, we now have an either-or situation, says Rabbi Shimon. I'm not sure. But what I can tell you is that one of these women, remember, this was a unique usage of the word achas mehem, biata o chalitza shel achat mehem. I'm not telling you which one, but one of them, but we'll tell you which one in a minute. But if you either have intercourse or chalitza with one particular one of them, then the other one is going to be mutar. So in other words, Levi, little brother Levi, has to do Yibum and Chalitza with Mrs. Shimon, the original Mrs. Shimon, and then Mrs. Mama Shimon is not going to be Chayevet in anything, no matter what. Okay, that's really what it ends up meaning. Now the Gemara is going to go through, okay, how do we know what it means? So which case was Rabbi Shimon referring to? We have two cases over here. We have the case where baby Levi was born and then Shimon did Ma'amar, and we have the case where baby Levi was born after Shimon did Ma'amar. So let's just first clarify which case Rabbi Shimon was talking about when he said that you could just go ahead and take one, I'm not telling you which one, but a special one, and that would potter the other one. Okay, can it be the case where baby Levi was born before Shimon did Ma'amar? That is absurd, because we've just proven yesterday that even if baby Levi was born and then Shimon even did Yibum, it wouldn't have made the slightest difference. Because since when he was born, he found his brother's wife introduced to him as Mrs. Reuven and not Mrs. Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, we proved, did not argue in that case, and he agreed with the Rabbana. So certainly it's not going to make any difference if you just did Ma'amar, because it won't make any difference even if you really did Yibum. So Amrit, yesterday you proved that Rabbi Shaya was wrong, and that we go, in fact, like the Shita that says that Rabbi Shimon argues, that Rabbi Shimon argues only in the second case. Didn't you say, Binoladu b'desof yibim lo polig Rabbi Shimon? So Koshkin, he's not going to argue if Shimon only did Ma'amar. Okay, so that case is absolutely not the case. So let's take the case that Rabbi Shimon must be referring to. Baby Levi is born after Shimon does Ma'amar. And this, therefore, raises the question, what is the effect of Ma'amar? So this is what Rabbi Shimon was saying. One of them, which one? So if Levi would go ahead and he would do Chalitza to Mrs. Ma'amar and not to the original Mrs. Shimon, so then for sure Mrs. Shimon is still going to need to be dealt with, because I don't know that she is even married to Shimon. But if he does either Yibum or Chalitza to Mrs. Shimon, the original Mrs. Shimon, then Mrs. Ma'amar Shimon is 100% going to be Ktura from anything. And why do I say that? It's very simple. Because the Mrs. Ma'amar, Mrs. Shimon, who is currently a Tzara, right? Maybe. So we're not sure about that. But she is definitely meant to need something. We're going to have to deal with her one way or the other. I'm not sure, because when it comes to her, to the original wife, it doesn't matter whether Shimon had actually managed with his Ma'amar to make a real kinyan on Mrs. Reuven or not. One way or another, if the Ma'amar actually works, so then obviously both of these women are ro'ui to be miyabim, according to Rabbi Shimon, because since baby Levi was born after she became Mrs. Shimon the second, so now you can either do either Yibum or Chalitza to either Mrs. Shimon original or Mrs. Shimon Mimer, right? Assuming that Mimer really works. Okay, so then for sure, the original Mrs. Shimon is shayach to something. If Shimon's Ma'amar did not work, it didn't work at all. In which case, Mrs. Reuven anyway is asura to Levi, because she's an Erva, because she is an Eshet Sakshel Ayab Olamo, because the Mimer didn't work. Shimon's original wife still needs Yibum or Chalitza, because whatever Shimon did to the other woman, if it wasn't meaningful and it doesn't do anything, Ma'amar, it doesn't change her status. So one way or the other, there's one woman who Vadai needs to be taken care of, and that is the original Mrs. Shimon. Please stand up. So she goes ahead and gets either the Yibum or the Chalitza from Levi. Now, what are you going to say, says Levi? Go ahead. You certainly can't do Yibum to Mrs. Reuven, because I don't know that she's not an Erva. Maybe she's an Erva. Maybe the Mamar didn't do anything. And when baby Levi was born, he was introduced to her as Mrs. Reuven, your deceased brother whom you never met. So that's crazy. You can't do Yibum. So what are you telling me you should do? Do Chalitza? And what good is Chalitza going to do? You're still going to have to take care of the other woman, because you don't even know, if you're not sure that Mamar is useful, you don't even know that they were married to Shimon together. So how in the world was taking Mrs. Mamar going to potter the real Mrs. Shimon, the original Mrs. Shimon, who's got a copyright actually on that, the real Mrs. Shimon's cookies and everything? It's all going to be only her. And therefore, there's only one thing to do. Deal with the case you know about, and don't worry about the other case, because one way or the other, it's going to be Potter. Therefore, the Tzora, who is the real Mrs. Shimon, the possible Tzora, is a Vada, has to be taken care of. The Baalat Mamar might be a real Erva, and therefore, it ain't going to do anything to take care of her. And ain't a fake Mitzimi Devadai. You're not going to be able to use a Chalitza of a possible Erva to Potter the supposed possible Tzora. So therefore, it says Rabbi Shimon should just take care of it, and take care of it when you do what is Vaday. So that explains exactly what Rabbi Shimon is saying. Okay, so now we know every single case that Rabbi Shimon says, and we know every single case that the Rabbanan say. And now the only question is, what is the logic behind the two approaches? That's the only question. But once again, I'm sure that everybody is left a little bit confused, because we've had five different cases until now. That is definitely confusing. Five different cases of possible Eshet Achiv, Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. And therefore, I want to go over them with you so that you're not left with a tumult. The five cases, now that we introduced the mimer that was done Baal Korcha as one case, the real mimer as another case. So then the five cases are, where you have Reuven dies, Levi born, Shimon does Yibum. Okay? And then Shimon dies. What we've concluded about that is that everybody agrees, and because we don't hold of Rebbe Oshaya, we've concluded that both Rebbe Shimon and the Rabbanan agree that in that case, the woman is definitely, because she was initially introduced as Mrs. Reuven at the moment that baby Levi was born, hello, baby Levi, and he's welcomed into the world by Mrs. Reuven. I am your dead brother's wife. That means right then and there, little Levi knows I ain't ever going to be married to this woman, because she is an Ezesh Ach Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. That was our opening Mishnah, and that was case one. Case number two was that Shimon does Yibum, and then Levi is born. Okay, there, in that case, Rabbi Shimon holds that she's no longer an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. And what does baby Levi do when he grows up? If Shimon dies, he can take either one of them, either Yibum or Chalitza, which whichever one he chooses. Those were the original two cases that appeared in Mishnah 1 and Mishnah 2. Now, we just had these additional cases in which Reuven dies and Shimon does Mimer. But he does Mimer only as wanting to do mimer, meaning he does the mimer by taking the diamond ring and jamming it on the woman's finger, but that is, according to our Braisa, not considered to be a mimer. And that was a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Is a forcible mimer considered to be a mimer or not? So, fine. So the way that we said is that both Rebbe Shimon and the Tanakama both held in the Braita that we met, like the Rabbanan, who say, that Mimer don't do a darn thing, because she never agreed to being his wife. So scratch that case. Okay. Next case. Shimon actually does a real Mimer. The woman is happy to get her diamond ring, and then Levi is born after the Mimer. Here's where things get a little complicated on the side of Rabbi Shimon. Because according to the Tanakhama, I couldn't care less, because Levi is definitely an eshet akshelo haya ba'olamo, and therefore there's not going to be a problem with the Reuven's, Mrs. Reuven, the original Mrs. Reuven, is an erva. And, but since over here the ma'amar is only derabbanan, so she's not the other original Mrs. Shimon who makes the cookies, she is not really ru'uya for yibum, even though b'diraisa she is, but because of the ma'amar, you can't give her yibum. You can only give her chalitza. It's here that Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not true. Ma'amar either is or isn't. And there's no such thing as a ma'amar only being a kinyan midrabbanan and a partial kinyan. There's no such thing. If ma'amar was a complete kinyan, so then Levi would be allowed to actually take Mrs. Ma'amar Shimon, who is now just as good as the original. But if ma'amar doesn't work, so then, of course, she would still be an erva. Therefore, the only thing you need to do, says Rabbi Shimon, is just deal with the original Mrs. Shimon's, except in this case, forget the cookies, she's the cookie, and you gotta go and you have to be miyabim her or be chaylitzer her. And that way there's nothing to worry about the other one, because b'manav shach, she either got yibum because her tzara got yibum, or she never needed yibum because she's an erva and the mimer didn't work, right? That's Rabbi Shimon's thing. The last case that we had is where Levi was first born and then Shimon does ma'amar. That we showed. That's ridiculous. Obviously, in that case, it's the same. As far as the Tanakhama is concerned, it's the same issue because the ma'amar is partially a kinyan and partially not a kinyan. And therefore, you do need to do chalitza, but you cannot do yibum to the tzara. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the idea over here is that we still have an Eishes Akshelo Hayavo Lomo, and I can not do Yibum to the original Mrs. Shimon because of the fact that the Ma'amar might have been actually useful, and therefore we need to do Chalitza because we can't do Yibum. Okay, fine, very nice. Now, the Gemara now wants to know what is the basis of these different opinions. So Reb Menashe Bar Zvid is sitting over there in front of Rav Huna, and he says, what's the logic in Rabbi Shimon? And Reb Menashe Bar Zvid goes wild. What's the logic in Rabbi Shimon? We've been talking about this for 3 days straight, and all of a sudden you're coming up with the question of what's the logic in Rabbi Shimon. I'm finished with this, man. What do you mean, my time at Rabbi Shimon? We said what the reason was. The whole analysis was, at what point is baby Levi introduced to the world? That's all. So we said, if he's introduced to the world as this is your deceased brother's wife, then it's kaput. He's never going to be able to marry her. If he's introduced as here is your dear brother Shimon's wife, welcome to the family. So then if dear brother Shimon dies 50 years later, he's going to have to be miyabim her. That was pashut. So why you suddenly bring it up? We said, why that is necessarily an effective svara, fine, that we'll discuss later on. No, sorry, says Reb Menashe. I meant, what is the Rabbanan svara? Why did they say this is not considered to be Mrs. Shimon? Why are we claiming it's still called Mrs. Reuven, despite the fact that she is now completely and totally married to Shimon? He did Yibum. I'm going to tell you. It's because of a beautiful, beautiful diuk in the pasuk. The pasuk says, ulekacha lo leisha v'yibma. Now you tell me what that means. Why is he both taking her as a wife and v'yibma? I'll tell you what it means. It means even when he takes her completely as a wife, and they've been living together as man and wife for 20 years after the Yibum, it's always going to be the Yibma. The relationship does not remove the fact that this is an ongoing marriage from the original marriage of the deceased brother. And she is a Yevama, despite the fact that she's a complete wife. That's what the Torah is saying. So what do you think that that means? It means that there's no such thing as introducing baby Levi to the pure Mrs. Shimon. Because there's always that whisper, by the way, it ain't so pure. She used to be married to your brother Reuven, who is deceased, and you never met. So don't get any bright ideas. So, okay, so because of that, there's always going to be an Isser Eishes Achshloya Bolamo to Levi. And that means Adayin Yivivumim Arishonim Aleah, she is still a Yevama. But wait a minute. Didn't we have like this whole idea about in the Mishnah where it said once a Yavam takes a Yavama, she is his wife, 100%, Hareyoki Ishto L'chol Davar, and that means, said Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, when you say B'chol Davar, it means if he wants to divorce her, he gives her a get like any other woman. If he wants to remarry her, he takes her back like any other woman. And the fact that she was a Yavama is irrelevant. There's no chalitza that's necessary. There's no sudden new iser of Eishes Ach, because now he divorced her, and now she should be considered to be Eishet Achiv. No such thing. She simply lost the status of being his brother's wife, and she's his wife like any other wife. So now, isn't that a contradiction? Why don't you say the same thing? Say it's said in the Torah of the Yivma. The Yivma means she's still a Yivama. And therefore you should need chalitza, and a get is insufficient to take away. It may be enough to take away the additional marriage if he did ma'amar, but it's certainly not enough to take away the Yibum, even if he did the Yibum. Why don't you say that? No, what do you mean? The Torah said, l'kachalo li'isha. It said it's his full wife. Once he takes her, nasit kishto l'chol davar. So then, darn it, then the same thing is true over here. So then, Hakanami, in terms of the issue of Eishet Achshloya Bolamo, make up your mind. Is she l'kachalo l'isha, or is she still a Yivama? You can't have it both ways, can you? Sure I can. The Torah said v'yivma, that she's still a Yivama. All right. So basically you're telling me that the Torah contradicts itself. On the one hand, she's a Yivama, and on the other hand, she's a real wife. And you, it seems to me, are arbitrarily deciding that when it comes to the issue of Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, she's still a Yevama, and will be introduced to baby Levi as Mrs. Shimon, who is really ex-Mrs. Reuven. But when it comes to the question of whether she can simply get a get, and whether he's allowed to remarry her, then we forget about Reuven. How do you know? I mean, how do you know which way to resolve the contradiction? Maybe the way to look at it is that when it comes to Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, then she should be introduced entirely as ulekachalo li'isha. But when it comes to the question of whether he can divorce her without chalitza, then the Torah says, v'yibma, she's still considered to be a yavama, and he has to give her chalitza if he wants to get rid of her. How do you know which way to look at it? So, umara ita, what makes you do it this way? Says the Gemara, because isn't it much more reasonable to shti hetera a hetera, ushti isura a isura? We have two halachas over here. One is the fact that the Torah is calling her a wife. And the other is the fact that the Torah is calling her a yevama. One of the cases is dealing with an iser erva. That is, iser eishes achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. And the other case is talking about where she is dealing with heter. He took a yavama, he was mekayim his mitzvah, he has a wife, and everything is fine, and everything is normal. So what in the world do you think is more reasonable? Take the iser, which is the din of Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, and say, the Torah is defining the iser. She's a yavama even after he took her. And take the heter, here's a guy who does all of his mitzvahs right, what's his din? She's ishto, l'kachalo l'isha, obviously. So l'kachalo l'isha defines his status, the v'yibma defines her status vis-a-vis Levi, the Eishet Ach Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. That's only reasonable. So let me understand this idea of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that once someone is introduced in a new state, this is what you're saying, the original Mrs. Reuven is introduced to Levi as Levi enters into the world as your dear brother Shimon's wife. And that basically that relationship, according to Rabbi Shimon, expunges the historical record because it no longer is applicable information in the world line of baby Levi. That's what you're claiming, right? Well, why don't we extend that a little bit? Let me talk about another case, okay? Here's the other case. Baby Levi is born into a family that consists of a man who is born, let's say, from Yaakov and Rachel. So we'll call him, well, let's keep it real. So Yaakov and Leah will have this son called Reuven. And this Leah has got a daughter of her own, you know. So then Reuven has got a sister from his mother. And then Yaakov goes ahead and marries Rachel. And now Rachel has a son, Yosef, with Yaakov, right? Now, this Yosef is completely unrelated to Leah's daughter from another marriage. But Reuven is a sister, at least from his mother's side. It's not a paternal sister, but it's a maternal sister, right? So it's achoto me'imo. Okay, so far everything's very clear. Now, what happens if a new brother is born to Yaakov and Rachel? Little Levi is born. How is he introduced to this sister if Yosef went ahead and married her? Because Yosef wasn't related, right? Yosef went ahead and married this girl that Leah had when she was married to another guy before she married Yaakov. So when little Levi is born, we introduce, here is your brother Yosef's wife. Isn't she also my sister from a mother, somebody told me? Ah, that's information that comes from a universe that you weren't part of. And information from a universe that you weren't part of is not relevant to you. No, no. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Rabbi Shimon says that the fact that you had the woman over here was once married to Mrs. Reuven is irrelevant to you because when you entered the universe, she was defined as Mrs. Shimon. So here it's the same thing. This girl is your brother Yosef's wife. And therefore, if Yosef dies, then little baby Levi, when he gets older, is going to be able to marry his own sister from a common mother. Would you say something like that? Elamiato, achoto mi'imo, shenisa'a achiv me'aviv. So Yosef had married the sister of the brother from his mother, and then comes along this new little Levi, and then Yosef dies. So why don't we say that he could be Mi'abimer? Because when he was born, he didn't find her to be his sister. He found her to be Yosef's wife. What? What kind of dumb question is that, says the Gemara? I don't understand. I mean, over there, the question of whether he is brother Reuven's wife or brother Shimon's wife is the definitive issue in the Erva. Over here, the question of whether she's married to Yosef is irrelevant about defining her status as a maternal sister. What the heck is wrong with you? Having once been a maternal sister, you are always a maternal sister. Since when does a marriage affect that? The din of Eshet Achiv, for God's sake, Eshet Achiv is meant to disappear in the context of Yibum. So now the only question is, which Eshet Achiv? I don't understand what you're talking about over here. So Yisrach Choto Lehechan Hazal, what happened to the fact that she's his sister? Well, wait, what happened? I mean, you can say the same thing over here. What happened to the fact that she was once married to Reuven? Why is it that the same question? Because, hi, Isura de Letla Hetera. We've said all along, the uniqueness of the two situations of a wife's sister, which was the Moker of Aleha, and of a Yibum, a brother's wife, is that that Isura can be taken off. It's unique. Yibum takes off the Isser of a brother's wife. Since when is a sister changed by circumstances that change in her life, such as marriage? The question is absurd. Hi, Isura de Letla Hetera.